Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you will be blessed by your time with us today.
Good morning. How you guys doing? Ooh, that was hearty. You guys are awake this morning. I don't know what hearty means, but I think it means good, right? So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your peace that passes all understanding, Father God, that we can put our trust and our hope and trust you with our hearts and with our lives and with our families and with our finances and with our health and with every part, everything that matters to us, Father God, we can surrender to you and know that you have it under control. And so, Father, we just surrender to you and we give it to you because your surrender to you brings your dominion in our lives, and we thank you for that. Holy Spirit, speak through me this morning in the mighty name of?
Jesus.
Of who?
Jesus.
Woo, man, you guys are on fire this morning. What'd they put in your coffee, man? I think it was that bread Sharon made. That was good stuff. It's like, there's some green stuff in there. I think she put salad in there. Like, I think she's trying to... Zucchini. That's good. Yeah, I can do zucchini. I was like, salad. I was like, yeah. It's like, that's a way to get me to eat salad. They'll put it in bread, you know, and then I'll eat it. It does not have mayonnaise. You're lying. So she's trying to trick me. So if it does, give me a minute. I'm going to go throw up, and I'll be right back. But thank you. It was really good. So they can put anything in bread, can't they? You know?
You'll never
know until someone tells you, right? You can put anything in bread. Like so bread's good. Okay, so I'm going to go straight to the scriptures this morning. And I'm going to go into Mark. And I'm going to go into Mark chapter 4 and verse 1. And I've been talking about the word and the importance of God's word because that's what takes preeminence in our life. There's another fancy word for a cowboy, right? Preeminence, right? It's the thing that takes priority. It's the thing that rules over everything is the word of God. And so when it's our standard, right? It's what we live by and it's what we can trust, right? We don't trust in the opinions of man or the traditions of man or the doctrines of man either, although doctrines and traditions can be good, but our standard always is set on what God says. What did God say about something? And that's where we set our standard. And there is no variance from that. When we're aligned with Him, we're surrendered to Him, and in that surrendering, then we have dominion. Right? And it's not dominion from the flesh, but it's dominion in the spirit that he brings by his power, because he says it's not by might nor by power, but it's by what?
My spirit.
By his spirit, right? And it says the Lord, right? So we can trust the spirit. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. But the way we get aligned with what he says is to come into agreement with what God says about the situation. Because you get a choice. He says, choose this day whom you're going to serve, right? He says, you get to choose life and death. And he's like, hey, let me give you a hint. He's like, you might need a clue, right? He's like, you might be a Texas Longhorn fan, right? You might not be real smart, right? I love that. I hope my Texas Longhorn friends are watching when I say this kind of stuff. Or it'd be like not worth saying, right? But it's like, he's like, you know what? They need a clue, right? So you know what I'm going to say? Here, choose this or this. But I'm telling you what to choose. Choose life. And we find life in the Word of God, and we find life in Jesus, and we find life in what God says, and we find life in surrendering to what he says. No matter what it looks like, no matter what you feel like, no matter what's going on around you, we find true life by surrendering our lives, surrendering who we are, surrendering our identity You know what? I might think I'm this, but God says I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God says I'm a valuable son. God says this. Am I going to believe what people have said about me? Am I going to believe what my own opinion thinks? Or am I going to allow God to have the final say in my life and come into agreement with what God says? Because when I come into agreement with what God says, then that's when you see, poof, things start to happen. It's not because we're smart. It's because when we're aligned with Him, when we're walking with Him in the Spirit, when we're surrendered, we're bringing His dominion, His word, His life. And that is the same life that spoke galaxies into existence, that is still coming into existence to this day. Now that's power. When we understand it, it come from what? The spoken word, right? That's why I'm so careful. Like I've been, I'm a cowboy, right? I learned how to cuss at a young age, right? So I could be really good at it, right? But there's a difference between cussing and cursing. Do you know down south, those ladies will say, "Bless your heart." And you're like, "Oh, how sweet. She just blessed me." No, she did not. Do you know what she just did? She just cursed at you. And you didn't even know it. Sometimes it's not the words, but it's the heart of what's being said. You guys hear what I'm saying? And so I want to line my words up with what God's saying. So I've been on a mission to kind of say, "You know what, God, what would you say about this?" It's a question you can ask really simply rather than you know, just coming. Because when we go into emotion, what we're doing is we react. And most of the time when we react, we're reacting out of fear. Or we're reacting out of anger. Or we're reacting out of the flesh. When the Spirit brings peace, He's our peace that breaks down every wall, right? So I want to operate from the Spirit and not just operate out of fear, out of anger, out of strife. I want to, what do you say about this situation, God? And you're like, "If you don't know, look here. Here's the answer." We say, "Well, what would Jesus do?" Well, look, find out. I'll show you what Jesus would do, right? Then we know exactly where we stand and what God's doing in our lives, right? So, but this is our standard. This is our map, right? His word is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. How are they ordered? By the word. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. What does God say about the situation? And I speak what God says, and you know what happens? Poof. There's light. And then you know where to step because you're just naturally stepping there because God's already paved the way for you and you don't have to do it in your own flesh. Does that make sense? And so it says right here in Mark chapter 1 or chapter 4 verse 1, it says, "Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake." He liked teaching by the lake, didn't he? "The crowd gathered around him." We're by the lake. Silver Lake, right? "The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and the boat sank." No, that's not what. So they had to flip the nets on the other side and then they caught more people? No, I'm not. I'm sorry. That wasn't what it says. "The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching he said," listen, you know what he said? Shema. In Hebrew he would have said Shema. Do you know what Shema means? Hear. Hear. But not just hear with your ears, but hear where? In your heart, right? Shema. Hear. Right? "Listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plant so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, and even 100 times, right? When we speak the word of God, it doesn't just add, but it multiplies, right? Remember when Jesus broke the fish? Well, he tore the fish and fed it to him. I don't know if he broke it. It was probably broke before he got it, right? And the bread that didn't have mayonnaise, but it had zucchini in it too, I'm sure, right? Right? He broke it and he fed. What did he do? It multiplied. In fact, it multiplied so much. How much did that kid have left over? 12 baskets full, right? He had a bunch left over. Man, he was rich when he got done. Because God's word always multiplies. And so we can trust God's word, right? So it says that he grew and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, he who has led him hear. Now, how many people there do you think didn't have ears? He's like, you don't have an ear, and you don't have an ear, and you don't have an ear, but if you happen to have ears, let him hear. Well, if they didn't have ears, how would they hear? Right? They wouldn't, right? So who is he talking to?
Everybody.
Him who has ears, let him hear. But he wasn't just talking about these ears. He's talking about hear in your spirit. Let him hear what God is saying, right? Because that, when it sets, then it's going to multiply 30, 60, 100 fold. Now, a lot of people, I've heard this scripture used a lot for money. And God does multiply with money, but in this scripture right here, he's not talking about money, right? You know what he's talking about? The word. He's talking about sowing the word. Now, when you do, like, there is blessing. You give and it comes back pressed down, shaken together, but that's just not when you give at church. That's when you give. If I give at the grocery store, I'm blessing the cashier, I'm blessing the store, I'm blessing the truck driver, I'm blessing the people who deliver gas to the people who drive the thing. The farmers, there's a whole list of people. Anytime you release that, you're giving. And God, there's a blessing with it. And God says when you give, he'll give back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So I'm going to bless my money when I release it. Money, I bless you. And I release it, then I'm not afraid when I release it because I know that God's word says I give and it'll be given to me. What? Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, because that's not my source. God's my source. Right? And so when we put our focus on that, then we know. So this is not me bashing what they're saying about money, but this is me putting this into context where we understand that it's talking about the word. Because when you get the word right, your money's right, your relationships are right, everything's right. Everything lines up when you get it aligned with God's word. Okay? Not to argue that. Anytime you give, God's going to give. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. It's spiritual law. Okay? But here we're talking about, it can be lumped in there, but we're talking about the word of God. Okay? Now watch. Then Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parable. Okay, so his folks that were walking with him, they didn't even know what he was talking about. They're like, what are you talking about, Jesus? Like, what are you talking about sowing and the farmers? And like, we're on the lake. These are fishermen, dude. Right? And so he says, he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seen but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Now, God wants them to forgive. Like, everybody's like, well, what's this about, right? He's like, the thing is they don't understand that it's not about just what they see with the physical. They can see it and see it. They saw Jesus do miracles, but they didn't perceive in their heart that he was the Messiah, that he was God himself. Right? And if they did, you know what would happen? They would have changed their mind. When they changed their mind, then they would have been healed. Then they would have been forgiven because they're coming into alignment with what God said, not from the outside, but from the inside, right? Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? He's like, you're my people. You're supposed to understand this, dude, right? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. The farmer sows the word. What does he sow? Who says this? Jesus says this, right? Jesus is saying this. The farmer sows what? The word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word. Okay, watch this. When trouble or persecution comes because of the
word.
What does it come because of? Because of the word. Oh, that's not in the gospel, is it? Who said that? Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. Let me help your feelings out a little bit. What if it's not you they hate? What if it's the God in you? So I learned about being Jewish. It ain't me they hate. It's a promise that God has on the people and on their lives. And then it's like, well, that's not personal. They're not even mad at me. They're mad at God. Right? But I still got a promise, and God says he'll never leave me or forsake me, so I can put my trust in him no matter what's going on. So now that frees me. I don't war against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and all these other things, right? That he defeated and squashed at the cross, making a spectacle of them. So now I can surrender and say, oh, yeah, that's why we can love our enemies. And we can bless those who persecute us, because they're not really persecuting us. You know they're persecuting? God. They're persecuting the word. They're not offended with us. They're offended with the word. They're offended with God. And that's what happens with the flesh, right? So here he says, where am I at? Anybody following me? 17. I'm glad you guys can read. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Now, it's not necessarily this life, it's not necessary wealth, but it's when you put your hope in what you can do in this life and you're worried about what's going on. Worry is faith inverted. It's saying, oh, well, this always works this way. So you're assuming. And do you know what happens when you assume? I can't say it in church, can I? It's like Pastor James, you already said you can't. Right. You make a donkey out of you and me, right? So now we're worried because we're watching what we can see and watching what's going on. And now we're like, you know what? I'm going to trust what God says in spite of what's going on around me. I'm going to trust what God says no matter what it looks like. I'm going to trust God as my provider. Wealth is good. Like God says, a great good man leaves inheritance to generations of generations, right? Ain't wealth, but when you make wealth your God, that's when it becomes a problem, right? Because now you're dependent on something other than God himself, when that's a tool that God uses for you to love people, right? So, with all areas of our life, it's okay to be afraid. It's okay to worry. But when we do you know what we do? That's when we say, yeah, I feel this, Father. I'm just going to let your love penetrate this. What do you want to do about this situation? I had some stuff hit the other day that was kind of weird timing on a payment I had to make. And I was like, okay, God, how would I deal with it? And I worried all day about it. Like, well, I only got so much time. I got to do this, and I want to make sure that's late so I don't get a late fee. And so I laid down at night. I was like, you know what, Father, I love you. Thank you for taking care of this. And I was like, I'm out of ideals. Do you have any ideals? And so I laid down and started to fall. And right before I fell asleep, the answer come. And it was way better than I could have ever thought. And you know what I told God? Glad I thought about that. Maybe next time. You know what I said? Thank you. Because it's not a great big thing. It was a little thing. But it's the little things that can trip us up sometimes. But if we can learn to trust God in the little things, he's already got the answer. And he surprised me. Like, I didn't even think about it. Like, it wasn't even in my brain. And I was like, I can't take credit for it. It was that smart, right? And I was like, whoa. And so I had to check it out. When I checked it out, he was right. And I was like, you were 3 steps in front of me. Everybody's playing checkers and he's playing chess. That's how big God is. And that's how we get to choose. Am I going to trust God's word? Am I going to allow God's word to have preeminence? When that word gets sown, and then the worries, we concentrate more on the worries than we do with what God says. Man, it's easy to do. That's when we can check in and acknowledge, hey, I'm afraid. Hey, Father, I just want to invite you into the situation. I just want you to love this and love me. And I believe, but help me where I don't believe. And you know what he'll say? I got this. You can trust me. Watch this. So there's these dudes in Exodus chapter 14, verse 1. And there it says, and the Lord said to Moses, I'm in Exodus 14, 1, if you can catch up with me. I'm making a U-turn. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Ha'eroth, between Migdal and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite of Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all of his armies, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. And when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services. So he and his chariot, he had his chariots made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. And the Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses, the chariots, horsemen, and troops pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they encamped by the sea near Pi Ha'eroth, opposite of Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. So here, they had already seen all these miracles. They had already seen God do all this stuff. And then who told them to go there? God put them there. Who told them to sit there? God did. You know why? Because he didn't like them. He's like, I'm going to show them. I'm going to bring them right to the edge, and then I'm going to wipe them out right in front of me. No, God brought them there. And now they're like, why'd you bring us out here, Moses? Was there not graves there for us to die? We're not going to make it. We're just done. It's over with. I'm glad the story didn't end there, right? Because Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. He says this, watch this. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. So now in the King James, I believe, it says, if you hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battle. Now we take that in a lot of ways, thinking hold your peace like you keep your mouth shut. And that's not at all what it's saying. It's saying when you rest in Him, when you trust in Him, when you allow Him to be your God, when you allow His Word to have preeminence, you stand still in it and you rest in it. And it's funny, that word pie, where is that? Pi ha arath means the mouth of freedom. At the mouth of freedom. It's not saying hold peace and is not speak. It's talking about resting in who God is. And what does God do? Now you speak God's word. You speak what He's saying. And do you know what happens? They were all slaughtered. And the Egyptians ended up writing this story, right? No. Watch this. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide the water so that the Israelites can go through on dry ground. He's like, why are you crying out to me? Use your authority. Use my word. Speak my word. Align with my word. Trust my word. And you will see my deliverance. We get to trust God, right? We get to see what He's saying about stuff. And we live in a crazy world today, right? Seeing young people murdered. Maybe because of the word in them. People murdered on trains. People murdered here and there. I had a... years ago, I got a call. We had a C4 leader when I was a C4. And they had a call. And there's a granddaughter that they raised. She was in her 20s. Had got into drugs and stuff. But she went to do a drug deal. Or had done a drug deal years before and ran into these guys that I guess it didn't go well for. So they murdered her. It's a man of God that loved God, served God. Heartbroken. He went up there to the courthouse and they had found them guilty. And when they were getting ready to, before they charged them and done their final stuff, they let the family speak. And he stood up and he said, Judge, can I have a minute to speak with him? And he said, absolutely. And this man looked at him and he said, I've been praying for you. He's like, your lives have value. And I know what you done was terrible, but I want to tell you about Jesus. And how Jesus died for you. And how Jesus gave His life for you. And that even though you made a huge mistake, I love you. and my family loves you. And he led two of the three to Jesus right there in the courtroom. Now that's how Jesus would respond to situations. And remember Jesus? Like we say, what would Jesus do? Remember him on the cross? What did he say? Father, wipe them all out, these sorry suckers. Know what he did? Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. And do you know what he did? He died for them. For their sins. For every part of their of what was going on. The very ones who were killing him. That's the God we serve. That's the Jesus we serve. That's how we respond. There's no Jew nor Greek. We don't separate from Christians and Jews and this for libertarians or Republicans or Democrats. We are one in Christ Jesus. And we're commanded to love like he did. But we speak the word in truth and love and say, you know what? God loves you. God has a plan for your life in spite of everything that's going on. Bad things are going to happen in this world. But we can trust because the Bible says 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not what? Come near me. Are we going to hold our peace? Not as in be quiet, but as in rest in his peace and in his love and in his goodness and love people around us like he would? Or are we going to act out of anger and resentment? Because that's not what Jesus would do. Amen?
Amen?
So no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, I want to encourage you. God has your back. You can trust him. He won't let you down. And you know what he did? Here in our story, he opened the Red Sea, and what happened? Every one of them went through on what? On dry ground, and they got the other side, and all the Egyptian army drowned. Guess what? They didn't get to go with him, with them. You can trust God. You can trust his word. And you can rest in what he says. But you can also declare his promises. Right? He who abides under the shadow of the mighty, I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. In him will I trust. Declare his word. Speak his word. Speak what he's saying. Because he died for you. He paid a price so that you can walk in his victory. And I challenge you to just trust him. And watch what he will do. Amen? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your peace. Just bring peace to everyone here, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.